The three things the Lord laid on my heart for our morning worships. The first morning, I really felt to talk about storms. Not knowing that we would be in a sort of a storm, you know. But the thing with the storms is that Christ, his whole intent is for us to get to the other side. That is, you have to keep that assurance in your heart that his intent is for us to get to the other side. And there's victory. Now, it doesn't mean you're not going to get wet. You're not going to swallow salt water. You're not going to be shaken. But you are. God is going to have his will done in your life. And which was Wednesday, was significance. Building a life. Building our lives. Jesus teaches that the way up is the way down. And it's not easy. It goes against our nature, doesn't it? It's against every principle that the world teaches, that the way for you to become more significant is for you to become less significant in your own eyes. And to Jesus put it this way, to be like a grain of wheat that falls into the ground and dies. And that dying, there's no philosophy, there's no mental state that you can get in to make that easier. I don't care what you say. You know? It's painful. And I've seen the greatest saints, and I thank the Lord for the privilege of having known them, that have gone through that process, and it's painful. But there's a glorious resurrection. There's a glorious growth when you say yes to the Lord. And I want to encourage the young people here. Maybe there's something you're going through right now, and it seems like this is killing me. This is just, you know, this isn't the direction I want to go in. This is against my ambitions, my desires, my goals, my dreams. But you hear the Holy Spirit saying, come on. I want to encourage you to go for it. You know, the enemy loves to paint the darkest picture for you. Oh, you know, this is how it's going to be. It's just, oh my goodness, a few dark clouds over here, lightning bolts, and you're going to just end up being nothing. You know? But there's something wonderful in that song when you find out that the best things that God can create is out of nothing. And when you allow God to plant all those things in the ground and look like they're dead, when he brings them back to life, they're more useful than ever. They're more alive than ever. And so trust the Lord with that. And I want to talk today about obedience. And obedience is tough. You know, we have this thing that we're sort of, it's sort of a mentality out there, and it's even among Christians, that, you know, if I do everything right, if I plan, if I'm careful, if I work hard, then my life is going to work out great. If I avoid storms, if I try to just, you know, get everything straight, and I'm careful, my life is going to be like, you know, it's going to be just a wonderful rainbow walk, and everything's going to work out great. You know, we can get in that mentality, and that we just got to get it all right. We've got to, you know, get the right job, meet the right person, and all that's sort of true, but we have this thing where then my life is really, I'm going to go straight up, and it's going to be great. And we have in this Christian world that on top of all that, I love God, and God loves me, and how can anything go wrong, right? I'll fight the good fight of faith, and nothing bad could ever happen. And Jesus shows us something a little bit different. And it's not the easiest message, but it's the truth. And the truth is what will set us free. Jesus gathered his disciples, and this is in Matthew 26, 36-38. he gathered his disciples together in a room, and he said to them, after a glorious ministry, multitudes had come to Jesus. And you can imagine the disciples looking at this man who spoke with authority and healed the sick, raised the dead, and fed, you know, thousands. Jesus was so marvelous. But now he gathered them together and he said, I tell you something, in a few days, I'm going to be arrested. Not only arrested, but I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be tortured. And the end of the whole thing is I'm going to be crucified. Now, you're one of his disciples. Does this sound like the great finale of a crusade? Does it? Does it, you know? Lord, it was going so well. We were gathering people. You know, even the Greeks were coming. This is the opening. This is the way up. And Jesus gets them together and says, you think everything's going well? Well, things are going to turn around. And I'm going to be crucified. And if that's not enough, I got to tell you something. When they're done with me, they're going to come after you. Lord, could I be an apostle instead? Right? I mean, think about if you're one of his disciples. That wasn't really good news. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, Jesus said to them at the same time. And look what he said. These things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. Two things what Jesus said there in John. He said, I told you this. I'm telling you these things. It's the truth. So that you could have peace in me. Because in this world you are going to have tribulation. Jesus didn't say you might have tribulation. Possibly you could have tribulation. You might have one or two bad days. You know, he said, count on this. There's going to be trouble. Now, isn't that wonderful? Should we end there? Right? Isn't that a wonderful message? There's going to be trouble. But Jesus said to them, count on it. But I want you to know something, that you are going to be able to experience a peace that passeth all understanding. You're going to have peace in me. I went through something recently. It was a personal storm where, you know, some of you folks maybe have done it. You ever been through a storm where you feel your nerves starting to go like that? Have you?
Yeah.
And you tell yourself, knock it off, and your nerves go, no. And you just sort of feel like, I think I'm going to lose control. Have you been there?
Yes.
You been to that edge? You know, I visited the Grand Canyon. Awesome, go there. How many have been there? Oh, let's go again. Isn't it awesome? It's unbelievable. And everybody always says that. It's like a picture. You know. And when I went out there, I said, it's like a picture. They couldn't believe it. But you know what happened to me? I got out there, and that crazy park, they don't have fences up. They got these 1,000-foot drops, and they, you know, all these kids are running along the path, and it's this wide pavement, and it's along these edges, and families are there with their, this is beautiful, and these kids are running, and I'm like, you know, I'm the father of all. I'm like, my poor wife, she was with me because I'm having a nervous breakdown. And then there's this one part where you take this, of course, these fools on these donkeys go down these paths and along these edges. And we thought we'd walk along those edges to go to this part where it's carved out. You know, there's a... I thought, yeah, sure. I get halfway down there, and my nerves are like... And I can't move. And my wife is like, let's be the man. And I'm telling you, I am... I'm like, I can't do this. She's standing over there going, no. She wasn't doing that. But I found, you know, I got so nervous. I got so nervous that I had to get off that path. And then I wanted to rescue all the children. You know, I wanted to, like, stop. Hey, why don't you look out for him? Don't let her run. I, you know, and it was got too much. But let me tell you something. Just a month after we came home, just so you don't think I'm an absolute nut, a month after we came home, a 5-year-old girl fell off a cliff. Got away from the father. So I wasn't, my fears were not unfounded. But it's something when your nerves begin to shake like that. When I went through that, and I said to the Lord, just with this verse from John, I said to the Lord, you promised a peace, your peace. Now, is this thing real, Lord? God, is this thing real? You made that promise to your disciples and to us that, yeah, there'd be tribulation, didn't count on there'd be trouble, but you said that you told us so that we could have your peace. Well, Lord, I'm a mess right now. I'm a wreck. What can you do? And I went to God. I said, I'm not even asking you to straighten things up. I'm saying, God, I need your peace that passeth all understanding right now. And you know, God is faithful, and God is true. And once God settled me down, once God, you know, I got it out, and once God got me to the place, he said, okay, all right, he did this for me. You know, I was praying, God, this thing's got to be real. You promised this. I felt the Holy Spirit go, okay, all right. Oh, okay, all right. You got to look up. You know, the Holy Spirit wants to give you His peace, but it's you got to take the lid off. You know, you bottle all the trouble in, and you listen to your nerves, like that nerve's acting up, these nerves are acting up, and God, this is trouble. And the Holy Spirit's waiting to say, okay, I promised you your peace, my peace, but you got to lift your head. Brother Gardner used to come around to us, and he'd come around, and we'd be praying, and he'd lift his head. Look up. You know, I got such help from that. We need to look up. Well, he told his disciples, count on it. Let's read from Matthew 26, 36 to 38. Then Jesus, verse 36, went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, chapter 26, verse 36 of Matthew, sorry. Sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took Peter and two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, and look what Jesus says, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow. How much sorrow? And it's the words of our Lord. He said, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Wow. You can't just, you know, we're so used to this story of Gethsemane, right? But let's just weigh this a little bit. Let's be one of the disciples. Let's be Peter or John. And let's look at our Lord. He had always been in control. You know? He'd always been in control. And, I mean, wonderful. And now he says to you, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And then you see your master, you see this great Son of God throw himself on his face in the dirt. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of Jesus, I like to think of, you know, Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the one who walked on water. Jesus, who raised Lazarus from the dead, said, come forth. Jesus, who healed the lame, and Jesus, who got in the face of those hypocrites and with authority put them in their place. The mighty Jesus, the Son of God, King Jesus, this picture isn't the Jesus we always think of, right? You know? We think of King, mighty King Jesus. This is a different picture that the Gospels show us. This is the mighty King on his face in the dirt saying, I'm overwhelmed, saying to his disciples, this is killing me. Jesus said that. It's not Matthew's words about Jesus. It's not Mark or Luke's word about. Jesus said, gentlemen, my heart's overwhelmed. This is killing me. We don't always like to think of that type of Jesus. But that's what happened to the Son of God. And you know, maybe you felt that way. I have. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever said to God, God, this is killing me. Lord, I can't take this. You know, sometimes it's a call in the middle of the night that just shakes you to the core. Sometimes it's found in a conversation when you hear someone saying, I've had enough of you. Or you're not good enough. Or somebody falsely accuses you. Or somebody comes up and gives you a report saying, so-and-so is not doing well. Or it's terminal. You know, those things shake us to the core. And you don't. And you find yourself maybe standing at a hospital bed or standing in a funeral home. You find yourself in some place you absolutely don't want to be. And what do? Well, you pray like Jesus prayed, right? What did Jesus pray? He cried out to the one who could help him. He said, Father, Matthew 26, verse 39, he said, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will. I'm just going to read to you from Mark. Mark puts it this way. He says, Abba, Father. And you've all known and heard that word Abba is an intimate daddy in that sense. The closeness of the Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Let me sort of paraphrase it, what Jesus was saying. Father, you can do everything. You made this world. You can control the storms. Father, you can take anything that's broken and fix it. You made my body. You made everything, dear God, the stars, the moon. You are absolute supreme God. And Jesus specifically said, everything is possible. You have to fix this thing. If you can, take this cup away from me. I've prayed that way. I've absolutely prayed that way. You can change it, God. You made us. You can change us. You can change cancer. You can change diabetes. You can change, Lord, the way the finances are going. And that is so true. God, you can change anything. Please, fix this thing. Jesus prayed that way in the garden. In fact, he prayed that way 3 times. Not once. And that's something to think about too. He didn't just pray once, he prayed 3 times. Father, you can do anything. Take this cup away from me. Wow, that's just an awesome thought. That King Jesus, our great Lord, prayed that 3 times. And I want to ask the big question. And maybe it's like, oh, you shouldn't think that question kind of thing. Do you think Jesus ever wanted or felt, I don't want to do this? This isn't worth it? God, let's do something different. Can't we just start over? Can't we just go back to the garden and tweak some things and set this thing right? Isn't there another way of doing this? You're God. Do you think Jesus got to that point where he said, Lord, it's time to do something different. This might not work. That's kind of an out there thought sometimes. We don't like to go out there. But you know, I believe that Jesus did go have to go there. I think he had to go to that edge. Hebrews 4:15 and 16 says this: "This high priest of ours understands our weakness, for he faced all the same temptations we do, yet he did not sin." Jesus said, "If you can't take this cup away from me, please." But he always prefaced it with, "But not my will." There was always that disclaimer. But you know, later on in Matthew, you read this: Peter steps up to the bat with his sword, and he cuts off the ear of one of those men. Jesus tells him, "Put that sword away." Listen to what Jesus says, though, from Matthew 26, verse 52. He said, "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword." And then he says this: "Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" That's 72,000 angels. Now look at what Jesus told Peter. "Peter, don't you realize I could get out of this whole thing?" I wonder if when Jesus was praying to the Father those three times and saying, "Can you take this cup from me?" If he didn't he already know that he had an option, that I could get out of this. "All I have to do, Peter, is call on the Father, and he would send 72,000 angels and clean this mess up." Now, that you got to stop there and just not read this and go through the story, that what would happen if Jesus just said, "Okay, Father, that's it." Different book, right? Different gospel. And we say, "Oh, no, it had to be, there had to be." Jesus said here there was an option. He could have gotten out of it. He could have said, "You know, I'm not so sure this whole plan is going to work." Now, we do know in Isaiah it said that he would look at the travail of his soul and what? Be satisfied. But the option was there. The option was there. You know, the option is there for us too. The Master went through it. Jesus went through it all the way to the edge. And he got to a point where, yeah, there was an option. He could bail. Absolutely. But you know what? There was only one thing that wasn't an option for Jesus. And that comes down to obedience. His whole life was one of obedience. Of saying yes. Now, think of this. Christ comes, he spends 3 years, as we read in Hebrews, being tempted in every fashion that we're tempted. Think about the things you're tempted in. Yeah, even those things you can't mention. Christ is tempted. He spends his, well, more than 33 years or so, he spends that life, what, saying no. Do you know how, folks, think of it when you're tempted by Satan really strong and a desire you know is wrong. It's painful, isn't it? It's painful when you say no to yourself. "No, I'm not going to." Jesus spent his life in that suffering. Jesus spent his life saying, around every corner, saying no to Satan. And we think it's tough, right? He spends his life saying no, and then he comes to this point saying no to Satan. "No, I cannot, I will not." He lives a perfect life for us. For us, he lived that perfect life. And then he gets to this point, he stretches out his arms, and he says yes to God. And he lays down that perfect life. You know, since there hadn't been a life like Christ since Adam before the fall. Perfect, pure, absolutely given to God. And imagine how the angels must have thought. "God, leave Jesus there. He's like Adam. He's perfect. He loves you. He does your will. The earth could use him," right? Jesus lays that life down to pay our price. Substitute for us. He lays that life down. He says yes to the Lord, to his Father. Listen to what Jesus said. I'm just going to read a few verses and to close out. This was Jesus' life. In John 14, he says this, verse 31, "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do." He says this too, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things." It was all about doing the will of the Father and coming into obedience. There was no option with Christ when coming to obedience. He was going to say yes. And what I want to end with today is this, that we've got to follow our Master, that circumstances don't decide for us. Situations don't decide for us. We have to come to an experience with Christ that no matter what the storm, no matter what the tribulation, no matter what the outcome, obedience is not an option. I'm going to do what God wants. I'm going to do what God says. I'm going to say yes. I remember that happening in me. You know, I was on this side of the fence one time. I said, "Lord, if you work everything out, I'll always say yes." You know, if you pave the way, if God, if you get me, if you get me through college, you know, if you get me the right person, if you work this out, if I get this right, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes. And then God set me down and said, "I need to talk to you, son." It doesn't work that way, you know. You've got to say yes because you know who I am. You've got to say yes because you've got to get to a place where circumstances and situations and tribulations don't define me. You need to know me for who I am. You need to come into such an experience and a relationship with me that you'll trust and obey me despite the winds, the waves, the contrary things that happen in life, the trials. You need to come into a relationship with me that you know I'm solid and that yes is the only answer. That's what Jesus knew. He knew the Father. You know, I want to ask you today, I want to ask myself, how well do you know Him? How well, what is your relationship with God? Do you know Him well enough to trust Him to say, no matter how things look, how things are going, you're in charge, God? Yes. Jesus, our Master, our Savior, our example, is in the same boat you will. Your nerves are shaking. It's convoluted kind of time where everything's going around and crazy. But there's only one thing Jesus had for sure, and that was this. I know you. I love this illustration. In World War II, there was a pilot that crashed and the Germans got him and imprisoned him. And what they began to do was they started, as he was in that prison, to receive letters from his father home, who was high up in the military, and it was made known where he was, and they were hoping to get letters from his family. He got letters from his father, but they took those letters and they began to forge them perfectly, copying his father's writing. And they would seal them and they would give them to this prisoner, this pilot. And the letters had the same tone as his father. But the only thing that they kept encouraging him, that some information was okay to give because it was no longer valuable. And that don't suffer for this and that. He kept getting those. You know, he never said a thing to the enemy. Never said a thing. Later, when he was liberated, some of those who held him said, "How is it that you detected our letters? Because they were so perfectly copied and everything. What did you?" He said this. You know what he said? He said, "You knew my father's writing, but I knew my father. You see? You copied my father's tone. You copied my father's writing perfectly, but you didn't know my father. I knew my father." And we need to be that way with God. That we know Him, that no matter what forgery, no matter what happens, we know the Father. And then that trust brings forth a yes. What are you going through right now? Is there a situation or circumstances just kind of pushing you to say no, 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 no? And you hear that still small voice saying, this is the way, walk in it. Jesus is waiting for you to say yes. Say yes. Come to know Him in a greater way and do that. Father, we're thankful that You made this promise that even though there would be situations and tribulations and trouble, storms, that You would give us Your peace. And thank You, Father, that You gave us Christ's peace. And it is a peace that passeth all understanding. It's, Lord, thank You that You convey us from darkness into light. And no matter how dark the clouds, You draw us into Your peace. And we thank You for that. And we're thankful for this, that You teach us to obey. That the situations and the circumstances don't dictate that. We pray, Father, if there's anyone here that's going through a time, Lord God, where it's tough, where it's hard, where, Lord, it all comes down to this, obedience, just saying yes. We pray, Lord God, that You'll help that one to know, Lord, that You are faithful and true, that You're able. We pray, oh God, if it's maybe in a family situation, maybe something at home, or maybe, Lord, it's a tough time in a personal trial, help them just to say yes. It starts there. To say yes, Lord, I want to do Your will. We believe yes. You to do this. In Jesus' name, we take Your help. Amen. Amen. Shall we? Let's stand and we'll sing 390, Trust and Obey.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and
dear Jesus. Yes, dear God. Hallelujah. Yes, dear Jesus. Oh, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, dear Jesus. King of kings, you'll never fail us, oh God. Father, you're faithful and true. Hallelujah. Thank you, dear Jesus. Jesus never fails. Oh, we thank you, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, oh God. If you are in such a situation, will you join me in this wonderful, wonderful, well, it's a song of just relinquishing our will. That's all it is. It's simple. And you know, the Father is faithful because He raised Jesus up. And Philippians tells us He exalted Him, you know, a name above all names. God is faithful. And this is a song that just relinquishes. Lord, you're just saying, God, can you fix this? Can you help me? Can you take care of this? And all the cries of our hearts, but God, which God listens to, He inclines His ear to. But we've got to say this, though. Nonetheless, no matter what happens, I'm going to do Your will. And the song is just this. I'll say yes, yes, yes. Let's sing it. I'll say yes, yes, yes. I'll say yes, yes, yes. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes, yes, yes. Sing again, but particularly if there's something on your heart today, before we leave here, you know, just let's just write it right across our heart. It's like a done deal. I'll say yes, 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 with all heart we mean it. I'll say yes, yes, yes. I'll say yes, Lord. Yes, dear Jesus.
Yes.
Always.
Jesus.
Now and always, oh God.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thy will be done, oh God.
Amen.
On earth as it is in heaven. We trust you to do that. Work in us, we pray, oh God. Thank you, dear Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, dear Father, Holy Spirit. Oh, seal our hearts, oh God. Seal our hearts, oh Jesus. Oh God, you do the work, oh Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Oh Jesus, Jesus. Yes, our Father. Oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. We thank you, Father, that you can take the yes that we have laid on the sacrifice of the altar here this morning and let its incense burn in us all day. Oh, Jesus. All day long. Oh, God, it's not just a yes that lies here in your house. It's a yes that lies on our heart. Oh, Jesus, that will carry us through every siren voice, every situation, every demand of the flesh. It'll be a voice that will go up to you as sweet incense all day long. Yes, Jesus, you reign, you rule, your way is perfect. You lead to the most perfect end, a great and wonderful way, your way. And so we go with that hope and Lord, that expectation on our hearts. And we give you all the praise and the glory and the thanks, Father, in the name of the conquering Son of God, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God bless you.